Sisters and brothers, thanks to Alice Miller, we can now advance our accurate understanding of economy, of the market, beyond where we left it last fall. And this does relate, as we'll delve into more next week, to our understanding of violence, which has been advanced simultaneously, again, thanks to Alice Miller. And so last fall, where we left it, and I put up an audio blog that summarized that, which said that the economy underclass is essentially a value assigning set of practices, conventions. So I hope you'll listen again to that, because we're going to be developing that right now, our understanding of that. When Charlotte Bronte wrote, "I like to think my own thoughts," I had great pleasure in reading a few books, but not many, preferring always those on whose style or sentiment the writer's individual nature was plainly stamped, flagging inevitably over characterless books, however clever and meritorious, perceiving well that as far as my own mind was concerned, God had limited its powers and its action. Thankful, I trust, for the gift bestowed, but unambitious of higher endowments, not restlessly eager after higher culture. Unquote. When she wrote that, she was being overmodest. Last week, we said that it is the earth that is civilizing, and that we need not just her company, but to know that she is our best teacher, if we intend to use our full endowment as living things, and particularly as human beings, who might perhaps be sole possessors of the gift of long sight, of representing for the all of it, by seeing from the vantage of the whole. Charlotte welcomed and cherished her full endowment to the degree class society would allow it. Her full endowment from the earth. There is no higher one. And in those who lost or disavowed it, she recognized a dishonest or bankrupt actor. So it is, this disavowment, this trumpeting of bankruptcy as a higher endowment. So it is with believers in economics. But it wasn't always so. Socrates said, or so Xenophon wrote in his Economicus, quote, "Now I tell you this," continued Socrates, "because even the wealthiest cannot hold aloof from husbandry. For in the first place, the earth yields to cultivators the food by which men live. She yields besides the luxuries they enjoy. Secondly, she supplies all the things with which they decorate altars and statues and themselves, along with most pleasant sights and scents. What art rewards the laborer more generously? What art welcomes her follower more gladly, inviting him to come and take whatever he wants? What art entertain strangers more generously? Where is there greater facility for passing the winter comforted by generous fire and warm baths than on a farm? Where is it pleasanter to spend the summer enjoying the cool waters and breezes and shade than in the country? What other art yields more seemly first fruits for the gods, or gives occasion for more crowded festivals? And my interjection, do you feel your future here in hearing these words? Do you feel what we deserve? I mean, this isn't the agrarian life that we're accustomed to thinking of. This is full of festivals and song and dance and luxury. That's our future. That's our future. There is enough for all. And Socrates is saying that 2,500 years ago, and here we are still being lied to, told there isn't enough. The vast, vast 99.999% must continue to sacrifice their lives, their health, their happiness, so this 0.0001% can continue to live in the manner to which they have become accustomed. 2,500 years ago, we're still singing that same sad tune from those abandoned children who have accumulated and accumulated and accumulated to prove they are like gods compared to the rest of us. This isn't fair, it isn't right, and it's not meant to continue. We have to begin these discussions.